It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
Welcome to the Coaching Ignited podcast. I'm your host, Alex Povey. It's great to have you here. This show is all about peeling back the curtain on what's going to help you build the fitness business you truly want. And each week we bring on a new guest to share their stories, insights, and strategies so you too can take action and apply what you learn. The podcast is released every Wednesday on all the major platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you go give that a subscribe, guys. Now, if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so you can connect with me there. Now let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy the show. All right, so we are live and we're back with another episode of the podcast. And this one's been a long time coming. I'm really excited to put this one together because Dave Smith from the OTF, who's joining us today, was actually one of my early mentors. And he's actually helped me a lot in growing and scaling my online business. And he's become a great friend as well. And yeah, I'm really excited for you to learn more about what he does and the amazing value that he has to offer, because he's an incredible coach, incredible person, and he's got so much value to share with you guys. So Dave, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on, and also thank you for everything that you've done for me as well.
Oh, Alex, my pleasure being here. It's about time you got me on the show, so I'm glad to be here.
I know, we tried to set this up a couple of times, but we're here now. And for anyone listening, obviously you're the founder of Make Your Body Work and the Online Trainers Federation, and we can talk about those two things to give people some context. But I'd love to tell people, or for you to tell people, your story and how you really got started in this journey and got into fitness.
For sure. So I've actually had quite a sordid career path when I go back and think about everything that I've done. All my education is actually in business. So I came out of business school expecting to go into corporate marketing, and I did that. I worked in the corporate side of things for a couple of years. And honestly, I just had this desire to do something more. I don't know if you know the listeners, you guys have probably experienced this before where you feel like you're putting in 8 or 10 hours a day and it just wasn't purposeful. And so I kind of racked my brain and thought, well, what do I want to do? And I've always loved health and fitness. And so I started a personal training business. And honestly, I was just doing the most basic personal training business on the side. I was driving to people's homes, training them in their homes. And I loved it. I loved, you know, sharing my passion for fitness, and I love meeting people. But from a business perspective, I realized that it was such a broken business model. Like there was no way that I'd ever be able to scale that. I could see, you know, maybe 5 or 6 clients in a day. And I do the quick math and think like, I just can't earn much of an income doing this. And so I thought the next logical step is to have a scalable business. I built a gym. So I actually went and physically bought a property and physically built a gym on it and then filled it up with clients, like using my marketing skills, filled it up with clients, filled it up with personal trainers. And I thought, Alex, I thought this was going to be the pinnacle of my career. I would have this scalable business. And About 6 months in, I found that I was working way more hours than I did as a personal trainer. Literally, I'd be starting at 5:30, 6 a.m. in the morning. And there was one particular night, I always say this is like the straw that broke the camel's back. My cleaning crew didn't show up. And so I had to go to the gym and was literally scrubbing toilets at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night so that the studio was ready for the next morning. And I just thought, what the heck am I doing? Like, this is not what I signed up for. And so just interesting the way the stars all aligned. Very shortly after that toilet scrubbing moment, one of my competitors came to me and he said, hey, we're looking to expand. and we want to buy your business. And it was, I was so excited because he didn't know how much I wanted out of this business. He didn't know how miserable I was. And so in my head, I was thinking like, just offer me anything and I'll take it. And he made me an offer that was actually quite a lucrative offer. And we struck that deal. And so I sold my gym, had to sign a non-compete. So I couldn't open up another gym in the city. And it was interesting because, you know, I'd been doing personal training for quite some time. And all of a sudden, I wasn't allowed to do it unless I moved somewhere else. And so I was unemployed and couldn't go back into the fitness industry that I knew. And this was just over 10 years ago. And so I decided, you know, with some of my marketing skills and just stuff I'd been learning about online business and affiliate sales and websites and SEO, I thought, you know what, I'm going to try and launch, what can I do online? And so I launched makeyourbodywork.com. And originally, it was a membership platform where people would subscribe and they would get weekly workouts delivered into their account. They'd follow these workouts at home or at the gym. And, you know, it took off. I was shocked. Like back then, think 10 years ago, no one was doing online fitness. And so the competition was very, very low. And so Make Your Body Work just like came out of the gates flying. And I was on top of the world. I thought, I'm like the king of online fitness. This was great. I was getting all this media attention. I was chosen as the top fitness professional in all of Canada. Like things were looking good. But then something shifted in the market. And again, this is just over 10 years ago. YouTube, it existed at that point, but it wasn't nearly what it is today. And all of a sudden, other fitness professionals started creating their own YouTube channels. And all of a sudden, there was more and more content going on YouTube. And very, very quickly, in the matter of about 6 months, I went from being a very unique offering in the marketplace to being something that was almost exactly available for free on YouTube. And while my business, it was still doing okay, the writing was on the wall that business model was broken and I had to change. And, you know, Alex, we can talk about that if you like. I pivoted a couple times since then. And have continued to this day. I still run Make Your Body Work. I have a team who kind of does it for me. And now I spend more of my time on the business coaching side of things. But yeah, that's how I got a start in the online fitness industry.
Love it. For me, obviously, I've heard that story before because it was interesting. I originally heard that story on someone else's podcast and then found you, tracked you down. And yeah, we started working together. So it's a really interesting journey that you went through. But I want to really ask you about today then, because obviously the landscape has changed. It's completely different. And you've got YouTube right now, which is basically a platform where people can get content for free. They can get workouts for free. And there's loads of free stuff that people can get online right now. So how do you grow and scale and survive as a personal trainer in today's market? What's different now and what do people need to be thinking about? I know that's a broad question, but if we can dive into some pockets and unpack it, that would be awesome.
Alex, like I love that question. I'm glad you asked that. Every single day, I get many, many personal trainers who come to me and they want to start an online business. And I would say well over 90% of them have a perception that an online fitness business is one of two things. Many of them think that it is tuning in via like Zoom or Skype and doing workouts alongside their client, but doing it remotely. Or other personal trainers think that having an online fitness business means going out and getting some sort of app or some sort of website that allows them to create workouts and then push those workouts out to their clients and their clients go and do those workouts at home or in the gym. And for everyone who's listening, if that's what you consider like an online fitness business, I really want to switch that mentality, because if it's the first one, so if your business is going to be you physically training clients, but just doing it via Zoom or YouTube or whatever it is, or Skype, you're still in that same business model of trading your time for dollars. And so it's absolutely no different than you being in a gym and getting paid for every session that you're in the gym. Now you're just getting paid for every session that you're at your computer. And if that's the business model that you want to go after, just know that it's not scalable. And the only difference is going to be, instead of being in the gym, which is probably a place that you enjoy being, I love being in the gym, you're now going to be sitting behind a computer. And in my opinion, that's a wrong path to be taking for your career. So I'd say let's stay away from that model. The other model, where you can go out and get an app or you know, use Trainerize or Telecoaching or one of those platforms. If you're just delivering workouts to people, you're an information provider. And Alex, like you alluded to, in this digital age where there's so much information available online at very inexpensive prices or for free, providing information offers very little value to your clients. And so, Alex, when I meet personal trainers and they're trying to go that route, the story is always the same. They constantly feel a pressure to lower their prices because they hear their clients say things like, oh, I just downloaded this app, or I'm following this workout program that I found on YouTube. And clients don't see the difference in value, and therefore comparing your, as an online personal trainer, services to things like 99-cent apps on the App Store or free workout programs that they get in a magazine or on YouTube. And so, Alex, you can see how both of those business models are broken. And so instead, what I'd really like to do on this show, and this is what I invest so much of my time in the Online Trainers Federation doing, is I want you to think about, instead of being an online personal trainer that's delivering exercise, I want you to think about how can you actually coach people to change their behaviors. Because like I said, people don't need more information. They don't need another workout. They don't need another meal plan. What they do need is a coach who will help them do things that they really want to do, but aren't able to do on their own.
You said that a coach to coach people into new behaviors, instead of just giving them kind of exercise programs and info, you're changing people's behaviors. Can we unpack that? How do coaches go about changing people's behaviors?
Great question. So there are many, many different coaching tools that I use for my online clients. So for everyone listening, I need you to understand that online coaching is dramatically different than in-person coaching. If you're at the gym, there's so many like nuances of being face-to-face with someone that makes it easy. If you've been coaching for a while, it's easy to coach someone face-to-face. But when we go online, we lose that face-to-face element. So it's important to have strategies and tools that we can use that really help people change those behaviors, even when we're not standing beside them. So Alex, I'll give you one example. Many of the trainers who I meet and they've been doing face-to-face training, they have some sort of intake process. And usually the intake process goes through all the typical things, like it's, you know, movement screening, it's asking them a history of exercise, asking them all kinds of nutritional questions, all sorts of things like that. And that's great when you're working with them in person, but if you're going to be coaching someone online, we need to go much deeper, because that sort of intake process just leads to us providing more information. And so I'm going to give you an example of one of the tools that I use. This is called the Four Tendencies. And Alex, if you want more information, I can give you some information about this and you can link to it in the show notes. The Four Tendencies is an evaluation tool that helps you understand how your clients respond to expectations. Because remember, the goal as an online fitness coach is to help people change their behavior. And the way they're going to change their behavior is by responding to expectations that are put on them. And so I'm going to give you a really quick breakdown of this. There are four different types of people, and the four different types of people respond to expectations differently. And the way they respond to expectations is how you're going to coach them. So I know that might sound a little ambiguous right now, but I'll clear it up here. So the first type in this four tendencies, the first type of person is someone called an obliger. And you can probably tell by that name, an obliger is someone who obliges to expectations. An obliger is the type of client who, when you ask them to do something, they so badly want to please you. They love pleasing other people. They're definitely going to follow through. And you know, everyone who's listening to this, you probably trained or coached people like that before. When you ask them to do some homework, they get it done because they want to please you as their coach. And an obliger, they are like the ideal online client, because you can take on an obliger, set them up on a program, tell them when you're going to check in on them, and simply by establishing a little bit of accountability, they want to please you. And so they're going to get their homework done. And when you check in on them, they're going to say, yes, I did it. And so they're a pretty easy client to work with. If everyone was an obliger, it'd be so easy to be an online coach. But that's only one of the tendencies. The next one is something called an upholder. And an upholder, like an obliger, they do like to please people, but they also have a strong sense of their own will. And so an upholder also wants to please their own internal expectations. And I'll give you an example. Imagine you started working with a client who's looking to lose weight. And this client is formerly a runner. And so when they think of exercise, they think running is exercise. If you start to ask them to do resistance training, they want to please you as the coach. They want to oblige. But at the same time, they have this framework built within them that says, running is what I do. I'm a runner. And so all of a sudden, they're in conflict because they're not sure if they should please you or if they should please their own internal drive to be a runner. And so you can imagine an upholder needs a very different coaching style than an obliger. Upholders, they work really, really well with checklists and structures that you set up with them. So an upholder, I'm an upholder, and Alex, if I work, I have coaches all the time. I have a business coach, and when we have chats and we set up, you know, some homework and I agree to it and we're both on the same page, I will get it done. But if my business coach asks me to do something and I feel like I should be doing something else, then there's going to be conflict and there's a chance that I won't do it. And it's the same for online fitness clients. So we got an obliger, we got an upholder. There's two more. The third one is a questioner. And questioners are people who, they will follow expectations, but they have tons of questions before they do it. And so again, everyone who's listening, you've probably worked with clients like this before. They're the type of people who, if you ask them to do a certain type of exercise, they want to know why. What's it going to benefit? How is this going to help them move towards their goal? If you ask them to make a shift in their diet, they want to know why that's true. They've read something else. They do all kinds of research. And so you can imagine if you didn't know that you're working with a questioner and you just started downloading programs to them and saying, go do this, they're not going to follow through because their questions aren't yet answered. And so already you can start to see how there's a very different coaching style for a questioner versus an upholder and obliger. The last type of client or the last type of personality or tendency is something called a rebel. And rebels love being unique. They hate being thrown into what they perceive to be a cookie cutter program. And so you can just imagine that if you built an online business and you're doing all this marketing and maybe using Facebook ads, you're sending people to funnels and you're getting these four tendencies coming into your program. If you're trying to coach all four types of people with the same coaching strategy, probably three quarters of them are going to be dissatisfied and your retention rate on those clients is going to be very, very low. Whereas if you have this perspective and you understand how to actually coach people, not just teach exercise or teach nutrition, then you can start to coach with nuances that allows you to satisfy the needs of all types of people. Your retention rates are huge. And you can just imagine, Alex, when you start to coach people and really speak into their life using these four tendencies, I often will have people say things, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but they do say things like, Dave, how do you know that about me? Or Dave, like you're working some sort of magic, or they say things like this, but in reality, I'm just a good coach and I understand how to understand people.
This stuff is so powerful. And it actually takes me back to the Philippines when we were out in the Philippines. You remember, right?
Yeah.
We were sat in the car. I think it was me, you and Lucy, your now wife. Congratulations on that. That's awesome. And we were sat in the car and we were talking about this. I know which one I am. I think you can be like a blend of some of them as well, right? You're not just like strict one or the other, but you can actually be a blend, right?
100%. Yeah, it's definitely like any personality test. It's always a spectrum. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I'm a bit of a rebel.
Yes, you are. Agreed. And Alex, if I can say something, and you think about the way when I've been business coaching you, and you think about the way you and I work together, I think you would agree with this. Rarely, if ever, did I just say, Alex, just go do this. And instead, again, I'd like to hear your opinion, but I intentionally would take you through the creation process because a rebel needs to buy in and they need to feel like the solution is unique to them. And so if I said, here's the solution, just go do this, you might say, okay, yeah, but then very quickly you're going to feel uncomfortable with that and the chance of you falling through will be very low. Was that your experience?
Yeah, 100%. It's almost like you allow me to come to the conclusion on my own, which is extremely powerful and testament to you and your coaching style. So yeah, obviously works really well, but I can't imagine a lot of people will grasp this concept. But there is a resource, right? You mentioned the Four Tendencies resource or kind of like test, and coaches can literally just send this to their clients, right? Almost as like the almost like in the consultation process. so they can really just understand their clients and know how to coach them going forward, right?
Most definitely. And for everyone who's listening to this, I encourage you to do that. Let's, in the show notes, Alex, I'm sure you can do this, but put a link over to that quiz. And all of the coaches who I coach in the Online Trainers Federation, the four tendencies is part of their onboarding process so that they understand, okay, this is the type of client, therefore they need this type of coaching. And I just want to take this one step further. You know, you might be listening to this and think, oh, it sounds so complicated. So there's four different types of clients, and that means I need four different types of programming. That's not actually the case. What it means is that we need to be aware that in our programming, there are elements that touch on the desires or the needs of those four different types of people. And so, for example, all of my online fitness programs have different elements very strategically built in so that whether I get an obliger or I get a questioner or a rebel or an upholder, when they're in that program, there's going to be something for them that allows them to make that behavior change that we talked about. And you can see how when we start talking about this, like that type of online program, that's value added. When I think back to when I started Make Your Body Work and I was just delivering workouts through a membership portal, that's not value added. I'm just providing more information, and that's not what people need.
I want to shift gears a little bit for anyone that's listening that's maybe not gone into the online space yet or done any online coaching. And like you said at the start of the podcast, people might be a little bit confused or not really know what online coaching is and how to really get their online business going. So I think it would be really cool if we could maybe look at kind of the onboarding process of one of your OTF clients, one of your trainers that you work with, and really just like summarize the key things that people need to focus on when they're just getting started and some of the pitfalls, the things that they should avoid and stay away from that's just going to sidetrack them and slow down their progress.
Man, great question. I'm going to start with pitfalls because I deal with these every single day. So number one is people seem to have the belief that being an online fitness professional requires a website and then B, huge audiences on every social media platform. And if you're listening to this and you kind of were thinking this, oh, I don't even have a website, how can I have an online business? I want to say that is not at all your priority. I'm going to tell you your three priorities, but it's not having a website. It's not having a big social media following. There's three things that you really do need. You need to know who it is that you're going to serve. So you need to know who your target audience is. And, you know, for many of us as personal trainers, if you ever worked in a big box gym, you probably trained pretty much anyone who wanted to pay you for your services. And that works in a big box gym because you don't have to market yourself. The big box gym is the marketing machine and it brings clients to you and you just train them. When we shift online, however, we're marketing ourselves. You're going to be marketing yourself. And if you try and market yourself as, you know, an online fitness coach for women and for men and for new moms and for busy business executives, like your message is going to be so watered down, it's going to completely get lost in all the noise. So that's number one. You need to know who it is that you're going to target. Who do you really want to help? Number two, you need to have some sort of offer that solves a particular problem, or we call it a pain point. And so again, just selling workouts or selling nutrition programs, it's just more information. Instead, what I'd like you to think about is who are you serving and then what's the specific pain point for them that you can solve? And so I'm going to use my own business. So Make Your Body Work, like I said, it went through many pivots and evolutions over the last 10 plus years. And now my target demographic, it's women between the ages of 45 to 65 who are struggling with unwanted weight gain due to the hormone shifts that they're experiencing while they go through menopause. So menopausal women who are looking to lose weight. And when I take that demographic and say, all of my marketing goes out to those people, and I know their pain point, what they used to do 2 or 3 or 5 years ago is no longer working. And I know why it's no longer working. It's because they're going through menopause and their body is actually changing. So now my job is to do step number three and figure out, well, what is the offer that I'm going to provide that solves that pain point? So I identify my target audience, I figure out what's their pain point, and then I create an offer that solves that pain point. And so for me, I have a couple, I call them signature programs that provide solutions to that pain point. And it's as simple as that. And once you have those three things, then it's just a matter of connecting with your audience. And there's so many ways to do that. I said, you don't have to be on every social media platform. Listen, you don't. Pick one where your audience is and pick a platform that you like being on. For me, I love Facebook and my audience is on Facebook. And so I'm connecting with these women over and over again in different ways on Facebook. And then I talk to them about their pain points and then I offer them a solution. And it's very easy to grow a business online when you do those steps.
So for anyone that's maybe just a generalist now, so you refer to like people in a gym, trainers in a gym, and that's very much just serving a generalist population who are choosing the trainer out of convenience, right? Because of the location. And it makes sense to choose a trainer in that location. Now, for that trainer to then think about going into a niche and going online, how do they change that mindset from just serving a generalist population? And how do they choose their niche? Where does that niche come from? What are some of the steps that people need to take in order to discover their niche or find their niche or choose their niche? Because I can imagine this might be a sticking point for a lot of people. Is like, who do I serve? Who do I choose to help? Can I solve that problem? Like, how do you come to that conclusion or figure out your niche?
Alex, you're asking all the right questions, man. Awesome. What I'd like everyone to do is picture an equilateral triangle. So a triangle where every side is equal in length. And this is how we go. This is the process we use in the OTF to figure out your starter niche, we call it. So you've got your equilateral triangle. At the top of that triangle is the word like. Who do you really like training? And I know, you know, some of the listeners, they might say, well, I like training anyone. I want you to think about, though, who is it that when they walk through the doors of the gym, you're really excited to work with? It's not just someone that you tolerate or they're okay. Who are you really excited to work with? So like goes at that top point of the triangle. The right-hand corner of the triangle, I want you to, if you're actually writing this out, is put expert. What are you an expert in, or where does your expertise lie? Because I know most of us personal trainers, while we can train a huge wide range of demographics and different pain points and problems, we probably, all the listeners, you probably have more of an expertise helping one particular type of person. So you know who you like, that's the top of the triangle. The right-hand side, think about, where does your expertise lie? What are you best at? What type of client do you get the best results most consistently with? And then over on that left-hand point of that triangle, put the word know, K-N-O-W. Who do you know? So you think about, who do you like training, and then where does your expertise lie? We also need to have a starter audience. And so when I'm talking to people who want to build their online business, I ask them this: do you know people in this niche that you're thinking about right now? Because for example, so I'll give you a real example, actually. I used to play very competitive ultimate frisbee. And so I used to train a lot of other competitive ultimate frisbee players. And so I liked it. I loved working with that population. I was quite an expert at it. I played the sport myself. I trained for it. But if I said now, today, you know, 10 or 15 years removed from the last time I played any competitive ultimate frisbee, I'm going to go and start an online training business for competitive ultimate frisbee players, I have no audience, because all of the audience that I used to have, they're too old to be playing competitive ultimate frisbee. And so I'd be starting from absolute scratch. And so for all the listeners, when you're thinking about your niche, the filter that I often ask is, could you write down on a piece of paper right now 20 people who fit in this niche that you're thinking about? So say you love working with women, you love working with new moms, maybe you're a new mom yourself and you have a ton of expertise because you've been through it, you've taken all kinds of courses, maybe you're a postnatal, you know, training specialist. Could you list 20 new moms who might need your services? And if the answer is yes, this could be the start of your niche. That could be a very powerful niche. But if any one of those three points on the triangle, the answer is no, so you don't really like working with them, or you don't really have expertise, or you really don't have any audience at all, then I would say we need to go back to the drawing board and make a tweak until that triangle can be completed.
Love that. Such a really simple process. Yeah, really, really good. So we're looking at a couple of things here, which is the niche, which we've covered. You talk about offer, And then you talk about choosing a platform, obviously, for the lead generation. So I'd kind of like to dive into that area. Now, one of the things that was huge for us that you taught us was the Facebook groups. And I'm not just talking about like going into other groups, but creating your own groups. And yours, Dave, is incredible, right? There's like a crazy amount of engagement. There's your clients in there constantly interacting, helping out. And it's just an amazing community. And I know for us, when you suggested we launch our Facebook group, I was a bit apprehensive, as most people would be, but then it turned out to be one of the best kind of nurturing tools for turning cold prospects into scorching hot clients. And we generated a lot of business off the back of it, and we still do. So I know that's one of the strategies that you teach, which is the Facebook groups. But for anyone getting into online training, would you say that is the place to start, is to build a group? Or do they focus on their personal profile and their current friends list and nurture on the profile? Like, what would be your kind of advice on that?
Man, yeah, I love this topic. So I get this question all the time, like, what's the difference between your profile, a page, and a group? And for everyone listening, yeah, Alex couldn't have said it better. A group is such an amazing platform for nurturing your audience and for also serving your clients. So, you know, when you join the OTF, when you're part of the Online Trainers Federation, this is one of the first things we do, is we use a very strategic process to build a certain type of group. There's a lot of pushback when I talk about groups, because many people think of groups as just another place to post. And I want everyone who's listening to get over that mindset. It's not just another place to post. For you to own a group, you're actually positioning yourself as a figurehead. You're a leader of a movement. You're a leader of a community. And Alex, I appreciate the kind words about, you know, my Facebook group. I'm the leader of that community, but I'm creating a forum where my clients can interact with me. So they're reporting back on their homework. They're getting advice. They're asking questions. They're also building community with one another. And that is huge, because online, the only reason to go online is to be more scalable. And if I didn't have a group and I had to coach and answer every single one of my clients' questions via text message or via email, I would need a team of 20 assistants to do it. And instead, I can build one group where I'm the leader, and all of this nurturing and accountability and support and question asking and question answering happens within the group, to the point where as my clients get more and more experience and get more and more involved in the community, they're answering each other's questions for me. And so it relieves this huge amount of responsibility off my shoulders as the coach, and that will be the case for you as well. So Alex, back to your question, should you be using, you know, your profile or your group? The best place to nurture your audience is in your group. Now, you can start on your profile by creating content and putting out calls to action and connecting with people. But that call to action that I just mentioned should almost always, when you're first starting, be driving people back to your group, because that's where they're going to be part of your community. And that's where they're going to see you as a leader, as opposed to just seeing you as another person on Facebook who's posting another video or making another post.
Okay, cool. So with this group, though, does it need to be niche specific? So does it have to be specifically for the avatar, the niche that you've chosen? Can it be a generalist group? Can people chuck their current client base in there, their in-person clients? Like, how do we form the foundation, the founding members, the initial people? Because we don't just want an empty group, right? We want people in there so it looks legit. So what's your recommendations on that, Dave?
I liked your terminology. Can we just chuck our clients in there? Yeah, to be honest, when you're starting out, there probably is going to be a learning process. So when I think back to my Make Your Body Work group, originally I had everyone in there because I took all of my in-person clients. And just like you said, I added them to the group. And that was the right move for me because I needed a critical mass. I needed people that were going to engage. I needed conversation to be there. And so if that's the case, if you're listening to this and you think, well, I've got 20 clients and some of them are men, some of them are women, some of them are old, some of them are young, maybe you do want to start with them all in one group. It is more powerful if you have a more niche group. And that is what happened to my group. As I developed my niche, I got to the point where I realized, look, there's probably 85% of my group and probably 95% of my paying customers who are women and they're in that age demographic. So at one point, I had to go and remove all of the men from my group because I wanted the community to feel unique and special for that target demographic. And so if you're starting out, it's okay to start at a little more general. And as you figure out what your niche is and you start to play around with having online clients and you start to see who's interacting in your group, it's okay down the road to tell people, listen, I only work with these people. And if you need help, I'd be happy to connect you with someone who can help you. Now, I'll admit, like even today, so this is my 11th year as an online fitness coach. I still get messages every single week from men who are kind of, usually they're a little bit angry with me and they're saying, hey, I looked at your stuff or I tried to join your group and you didn't let me in. Don't you have any programs for men? And I just come back to them and say, listen, my expertise is helping with these women. And that's who I love helping. But I'd be happy to make a connection for you if you'd like some help as well. And almost always that softens their heart and they come back and they say, hey, you know, thanks for taking the time to respond. And so again, if you're listening, I want to cast a little vision as to where your online business is going. Right now, it might be a little group of 15 of your clients, and that's going to help them build community. It's going to help relieve some of the pressure off your shoulders as the coach. And then you're going to start adding more and more people, and you're going to get people in there who aren't your clients, and they're going to start seeing what the great work is that you're doing with your clients. And Alex, you and I, we've talked about this so many times, it creates FOMO, fear of missing out. Those prospects in your group are watching the results that your clients are getting, and they're thinking, wow, I wish I could work with Alex. Look at what that person is doing with him. And it becomes your ultimate lead generation machine.
On the Facebook group, I just want to dive into a couple more things on that. How long have you got, Dave? I know you've got to jump on another call. How long have you got?
I've got to be on the call in 12 minutes. So let's say 10 minutes.
12 minutes. Okay, cool. So now would be interesting to talk about the group and how you take members and turn them into clients. Now, I know you mentioned FOMO. We've experienced this where people are watching the results, the interactions, and they're like, I want a piece of that. And they just, on their own accord, will message you and then you'll start the conversation. And then you'll get them on a phone call and turn them into a client. But is it kind of like a process that you follow to nurture people in the group and then turn them into warmer leads that then get on a phone call with you that you can then sell your programs to? What's that process?
Yeah, good question. So I have an 11-step process for nurturing my Facebook group. And we don't need to go through all 11 steps, but I'll give you some ideas here. So one of the things that I do is all of my clients, in part of the training that I do with them, so say one of my clients goes through, one of my programs is called WINK. It stands for waist shrink. And a woman who's going through menopause, she's looking to lose visceral fat. She's going through this program. One of the things that she learns very early on in that program is that when she gets a positive result, she needs to post it in the Facebook group and tag me. And I position it as her coach, I need to know about her progress. And that is true, but admittedly, there is an ulterior motive. I want her to be posting her wins in the group so that everyone else, those hundreds and hundreds of other women in there who aren't currently in my program, see that woman kicking butt in my program. And so that's where that FOMO comes in, but it has to be trained. Clients aren't naturally going to do that. And so for everyone who's listening, if your programs aren't asking your clients to report back in your group, to do homework in your group, they're not going to do it. And this is another reason why I think so many people shy away from Facebook groups is they maybe have started one in the past and they found that they were posting content, they were getting a couple likes, no interaction. And I always, when I hear that frustration or hear that pushback, I ask them, well, what are your group members expectations? What do they think they should be doing? And in most cases, the group administrator, the fitness professional, they can't answer. And so in terms of these 11 steps, the things that I do to nurture the group, that's one, is wins have to go in the group. Number two, homework has to get reported on in the group. And so again, I'll give you an example. My WINK program, again, using that as an example, the first week we do a lot of photo food journaling. And so my clients, they're not counting calories or macros or anything like that. All they're doing is snapping photos of their food. We use an app called Pic Collage. They put that collage together and then they post the collage in the group. And that's it. And it's an amazing tool because I have all of this user-generated content. So all of my clients are posting these pictures. And it's fantastic because Alex and everyone who's listening, you can imagine what happens. You know, one woman posts her pictures of her meals. Someone else says, oh, I forgot to post mine. She posts hers. And then it turns into the snowball effect. And because my group is full of a very specific niche, they all love each other. They all start commenting on each other, start liking each other's photos. There's this huge amount of support. And so that's the strategy behind why homework has to happen there. If I had the women take pictures and send them to me via email, two things would happen. Number one, I'd have to respond to every single one of those emails, which is so much work. And number two, they wouldn't get the encouragement and the support of maybe dozens of other women who are going through the same program that they are. And so the value that I'm offering would actually diminish. So I'm doing my clients a favor. I'm providing better value by having them report their homework back in the group. That's a second example of something that I do in the group. Third, I'll give you one more here, because like I said, we could go on and on with this. But another example is when I do a favor for one of my clients, I always do it publicly. And I'll give you an example. So say one of my clients, she had a workout program from me and she was struggling with one of the exercises. And I went and filmed a specific workout or a specific exercise video for her. I could send her a PM and say, you know, hey, Jen, your new exercise is in your program. But then nobody knows about it except for me and Jen. So instead, what I'll do is I'll post in the group and I'll tag her and say, hey, Jen, I just posted your new exercise video. It's going to help you do X, Y, and Z. And I know that sounds like a simple thing, but repetitively, when I do that over and over and over again, imagine all the women who are in my group who aren't my clients. What do they think about me? They think Dave really cares about his clients and he is really committed to their success. He's the guy that I want to work with. And Alex, you can see how just those three simple actions create like an endless stream of clients.
Yeah, I absolutely love that last point. That's just obviously triggered a light bulb in my own head that I need to do more of that in my group, which is awesome. So for anyone listening right now, what I would do is I would actually stop the podcast right now. I would go to Facebook. I would type in the Online Trainers Federation, and I would request to join Dave Smith's group so you can actually see what he is doing, right? Because everyone can watch and see what you're doing in that group, right, Dave? And they can pick up on these little tips, on these little tricks, and just see what amazing group you've built. And that's a good reference point for anyone else that's looking to launch a group and build a community, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, definitely request to join. And I'll say this, I'm going to be very transparent. My Online Trainers Federation group and my Online Trainers Federation business, it just mirrors Make Your Body Work. Listen, I was an online fitness coach for, this is my 11th year, so I know how it works. And when I had all these trainers coming to me all the time and say, Dave, how are you doing all this online? When I built the Online Trainers Federation, I took what worked to Make Your Body Work and replicated that in the OTF. So when you join the Facebook group and you see how I interact and how I nurture my clients and how I help, just think about, this is what Dave's doing for his fitness business. How can I do this as well?
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely love your group. And I take a lot of value from it. And it always gives me those little nudges that I need to really work harder on my group and my community. So yeah, thank you for building an amazing group. Your clients are very, very lucky. So for anyone that's listening to this podcast now, we've already given them kind of directions to join the group. Is that the best place for people to head, Dave, or would you want them to go anywhere else or watch anything else that you've created?
Yeah, the going to the group, definitely. The other place, if you want to tell me a little bit about your business and kind of get my feedback and sort of get an idea of your first steps, if you go to onlinetrainersfederation.com and then /begin, then that'll take you to a place where you can give me a little bit of information about your business. When you submit that, it goes directly to my personal inbox. So you'll actually be hearing right back directly from me. And that'll just allow us to get a conversation started and I can point you in the right direction.
Cool. So that's onlinetrainersfederation.com/begin. And then we've got the Online Trainers Federation group on Facebook.
100%.
Perfect. All right, Dave, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad we finally did this.
Yeah, it's been long overdue. Alex, thanks so much, man. I love chatting about this stuff. And thanks for your questions. You asked very intentional, purposeful questions that I think the audience will benefit from. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a short review on one of the platforms. And if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so we can connect there. See you next week.